Good evening, Jacksonville. This is Elder Anderson of the Church of God Seventh Day, located in Life Church, at the corner of Old St. Augustine Road and Hartley Road in Mandarin. I want to thank Pastor Riley and the Elect Apostolic Church for this opportunity. We're living on the cusp of the greatest event in human history. Tonight, I'm going to unlock prophecies that are 2,000 years old. Biblical prophecies that show when this present world will come to an end. Prophecies that reveal that the return of Jesus Christ is imminent. 2,000 years ago, Jesus sat on a hill overlooking Jerusalem. Some of his closest followers came and listened to what they asked in Matthew 24:3. They asked Jesus, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Jesus responded by telling them a parable. In Matthew 24:32-34, let's read it. Jesus said, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." Now this is what's known as the fig tree prophecy. Jesus tells the disciples, the same generation that sees the fig tree blooming will also see his return. So, what is this fig tree? If we can figure out what the fig tree is, then we will know who the last generation is. Throughout history, nations have always been known by symbols. Russia is the bear. America is the eagle, of course. England is the lion. And what about Israel? Israel is the fig tree. The fig tree is a biblical symbol of Israel in the Bible. So Jesus was saying that when you see Israel re-blooming, that generation will be alive at his return. Israel was conquered and destroyed as a nation long ago by the Babylonians in 586 BC. But it's been replanted. When did that happen? Well, on May 14, 1948, the nation of Israel was reborn. Since then, Israel has been growing like a tree. Millions have returned to Israel from all over the world. Today, more than 8 million people live in Israel. In May 30, 2013, a newspaper in America published an interesting article. The title was "Deserts to Bloom in Israel." Now that's an interesting title. You know, Israel was once a dry, arid country. Mark Twain visited Israel in 1867. He described the land as rocky and bare, repulsive and dreary, hardly a tree or shrub anywhere, a hopeless, dreary, heartbroken land. But all that is changing. You see, Israel has built desalination plants that take water from the sea, from the ocean, from the Mediterranean Sea, and turn it into fresh water. Soon, Israel will actually have a surplus of water. And the deserts are starting to bloom. Olive groves. Rows of olive trees have been planted in the desert. You know, China and Israel are the only two countries in the entire world that are shrinking their deserts. And Israel is the only country in the world, the only one, that entered the 21st century with a net gain in trees. Planting trees and making the desert bloom with vegetation is a major goal of the nation of Israel. When Israel was reborn in 1948, it was mostly a barren land. Today, there are lush green forests. Fields of grain and vegetables are growing. And there's fields that are blooming with flowers. Jesus said, "When the fig tree is blooming, my return is imminent." Let's look at another prophecy Jesus told his disciples. It's found in Luke 21:24. And he told them, "Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." Jerusalem has been under the rule of Gentiles for millenniums. As we mentioned earlier, it was conquered in 586 BC by the Babylonians. And then nation after nation of the Gentiles has ruled over Jerusalem. The Greeks, the Romans, and so forth. And the Arabs all the way up until 1967. But something changed on June 5, 1967. A war broke out in the Middle East. Egypt, Jordan, and Syria attacked the tiny nation of Israel on three fronts. Amazingly, Israel routed the Arabs and actually captured territory. For the first time since Jesus spoke this prophecy, Jerusalem is now under the complete control of the Jews. It's one of the most profound fulfillments of prophecy in 2,000 years, and it happened in our generation. This event, the liberation of Jerusalem from the Gentiles, signals the return of Jesus Christ is imminent. Notice what Jesus said in the same chapter of Luke, just a few verses later, in verse 31. He said, "Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near." When you see these things happen, you know God's kingdom is near. Now, let's look at another sign of the end that Jesus also told his disciples on the side of the Mountain of Olivet that evening. He said, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." Some researchers, a professor from the University of Warwick and one from Humboldt University, did a study of the wars between 1870 and 2001, and they found that the frequency of wars has increased steadily over the last 130 years. Experts estimate that the number of people killed in all of the wars fought since the time of Jesus until the year 1900, we're talking about 19 centuries of warfare, the number of people killed during all that time was 40 million people. Now, in the 20th century alone, 231 million people died in wars, nearly eight times as many as died in the previous 19 centuries. The 20th century was a century of unparalleled carnage. Today, it's been said there are currently 38 wars or conflicts raging worldwide. And now, we have the advent of terrorist attacks. In 2011, just in that year, there were over 10,000 terrorist attacks worldwide in 1 year. It wasn't too long ago, in the 19th century, wars were fought with rifles and cannons. Today we have jets, tanks, helicopters and missiles. We have rockets that can deliver a nuclear bomb anywhere in the world. We have smart bombs, which can be guided with pinpoint accuracy. We have nuclear submarines that circle the globe underwater loaded with nuclear missiles. Just one of those submarines today has more firepower than all the bombs dropped in World War II. Never in human history has there been a period of history so marked by conflict. Wars and rumors of wars dominate our headlines. This is evidence that the return of Jesus is imminent. Now, I want you to look at another prophecy with me. Jesus said in Mark 13:8, "There shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles." Well, let's talk about troubles first. Did you know natural disasters have been on a steep climb recently? In the decade of the 1980s, there was an average of 300 natural disasters per year. 300. By 2010, that had climbed to almost 1,000 per year. And what about earthquakes? Well, they've been around since the dawn of time, you say. Well, that's true. However, large earthquakes have been increasing in frequency and ferocity in recent decades. There's been a large increase in earthquakes above 7.0 on the Richter scale in the last 150 years. Let's look at the evidence. From 1863 to 1900, during that time period, there were only 12 earthquakes above 7.0 in those 37 years. 12 earthquakes. Well, if you look at the period from 1977 to today, approximately the same length of time, there have been 164 earthquakes above 7 on the Richter scale. From 12, a little over a century ago, to 164, a phenomenal increase. And of the top 10 most powerful earthquakes ever recorded in human history, 3 of them have occurred in the last 10 years, and 6 of the top 10 in human history have occurred after the year 1951. On December 26, 2004, the deadliest earthquake and tsunami in human history hit Indonesia. It was felt in 14 countries from Asia all the way to East Africa. 230,000 people died. On March 11, 2011, the most powerful earthquake ever recorded in Japan occurred. The immense force of the quake moved the main Japanese island Honshu by 2.4 meters. And NASA reported the earthquake shifted the Earth's axis by about 6.5 inches. Jesus said, "When you see these things taking place, you will know his return is near." Jesus also said in Matthew 24:7, "There shall be pestilences." In recent decades, we have seen several diseases never known to man: HIV, AIDS, avian flu, H1N1, Ebola. Whoever heard of HIV or AIDS prior to our lifetime? Did you know that over 5,000 people worldwide die of AIDS every day? Over 25 million people in Africa have AIDS. The majority of African nations now see the AIDS problem as an epidemic. According to UPI, over 335 new diseases have emerged since the 1940s, with the greatest emergence of new diseases taking place in the 1980s. Jesus said, "A sign of his return would be pestilences. Now, let me share a couple of other prophecies. These from the book of Daniel. In Daniel 12:4, it says that the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Since the dawn of time, mankind travel by foot, by horse, or by sailboat. In 1900, not that long ago, the major means of transportation was either walking or riding a horse. Today, we have automobiles, airplanes. Today, there are over 5,000 airplanes in the skies at any given time of the day. We have bullet trains that travel 150 miles an hour. During the 19th century, the average number of miles traveled per year by a person in the United States was 500 miles. Today, it is 25,000 miles per year. Surely, many are running to and fro today, just as Scripture said they would. Daniel also said that knowledge would increase. Has that happened? Today, we are witnessing an explosion of knowledge. Knowledge is increasing today at a staggering rate. It's almost impossible to cite all the technical advancements of the 20th, 21st centuries. The growth of medical technology in the past 50 years has exceeded all advances made during the previous 5,000 years. Think about it. Nuclear power, the telephone, radio, TV, computer. Computers that fit into an entire room in the 1970s can now fit in the palm of your hand. No other period of human history has seen such unbelievable advances in knowledge. It's estimated that 80% of all scientists who have ever lived are alive today. Every minute, they add 2,000 pages to man's scientific knowledge, and the scientific material they produce every day would take a person 5 years to read. Consider now how rapidly knowledge is increasing. From the time of Jesus to the year 1500, knowledge doubled. That says that in 1,500 years, knowledge doubled. 1,500 years in time. Now, from 1,500 to 1,750, it doubled again, taking just 250 years to double. From 1,750 to 1,900, it doubled again, this time taking only 150 years to double. From 1,900 to 1,950, it doubled again. It took 50 years to double. Guess what? Today, knowledge is doubling every year. That means encyclopedias are out of date before they can be printed. Researchers have determined that one Sunday issue of the New York Times newspaper contains more information than the average person living back in the 19th century was exposed to in a lifetime. This massive increase in knowledge is a certain sign of the last days. Now let's turn over to the last book in the Bible. In Revelation 11:18, we read, "The time has come for destroying those who destroy the earth." It says God is going to destroy them which destroy the earth. In 1962, Rachel Carson wrote the book Silent Spring. She showed how pesticides were killing off birds, fish, and animals. Listen to what she wrote. Quote, "Only within the moment of time represented by the present century has one species, man, acquired significant power to alter the nature of the world." Those prophetic words were written over 50 years ago. Today, we produce 13,000 times more pesticides than when Rachel Carson wrote that book. The air is laced with poisonous chemicals and smog. The waters are polluted. Rainforests are being bulldozed and incinerated. Species after species is going extinct. Animals, birds, fish. Up to 90% of the ocean's great predators tuna, swordfish, sharks have disappeared from the earth. In the 1960s, 1,000 species a year are going extinct. Today, 10,000 species a year are going extinct. If trends continue over the next 30 years, 1 million species will become extinct. Listen, this generation has done more to destroy this earth than all other generations combined. We're all familiar with the recent BP oil rig disaster in the Gulf of Mexico. Recently, we had the nuclear disaster in Japan from the earthquake, where the reactors pouring out radiation into the atmosphere and sea. We're destroying our own planet. On May 3, 2005, 360 scientists from 95 countries got together and warned that the world is ending. They claimed that all ecosystems are being irretrievably damaged. The report says human activity is putting such a strain on the natural functions of Earth that the ability of the planet's ecosystems to sustain further generations can no longer be taken for granted. Deforestation is clearing Earth's forests on a massive scale. Every year, 18 million acres of forest, roughly the size of Panama, are lost. 70% of Earth's land animals and plants live in forests, and many cannot survive the deforestation that destroys their homes. If the current rate of deforestation continues, forests could completely vanish in 100 years. Man is also destroying the ocean. Just since 1980, 20% of the world's coral reefs have been destroyed, and another 20% are badly degraded. The Bible says, God will destroy those who are destroying the earth. If this were the only prophecy in the Bible, if this was the only text we had to tell us when Jesus was going to return, this one text tells us that the return of Jesus is imminent. Why? Because our generation meets every qualification. We pass the test. The first generation since Adam, which can stand up and take credit for destroying the earth. I have one final prophecy to share with you this evening, and it is perhaps the most important. Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." As a child growing up in the 1970s, the return of Christ was a frequent topic of conversation, and one question would come up, which is, how can the gospel message reach all the world? Because at that time, nearly one-third of the earth was under communist or atheist control. How could the gospel penetrate the great atheist Soviet Union? Communism controlled Russia, China, Cuba, North Korea, Eastern Europe. Well, amazingly, in our generation, in 1989, the Iron Curtain fell, and evangelists swarmed into Russia and Eastern Europe. As Jesus said, "This gospel shall be preached in all the world." The Iron Curtain couldn't stop the gospel. The gospel advanced like lightning through the former communist empire. Now, the U.S. State Department tells us there are 195 nations in the world. And by the end of the 1990s, the gospel message had penetrated all 195 nations. We are living in the generation that has witnessed the gospel reaching every nation. It has yet to reach every language and tribe, but that work is advancing quickly. Thanks to computer technology, translation of scriptures in a new language is now occurring at a rapid pace, a pace unimaginable even 20 years ago. Soon the scriptures will be available in every human language. Think of this. In 1990, there were only a few Christians living in Cambodia and Nepal. just in the hundreds living in Christians in both these nations. Today there's over 400,000 in Cambodia, nearly a million in Nepal. What about communist China? A billion souls. Today, there are over 140 million active Christians in communist China. That's more active Christians than any other nation. And this explosive growth took place in our generation. Can you see? We're living in the final days. Now let me tell you a story to illustrate how God's working. For 21 years, Mrs. Chang laid in her bed in China, unable to move her arms or legs. Finally, the pain was unbearable and her son took her to the hospital. The doctors discovered her organs were shutting down. They told her son, take her home so she can die with your family. But before she left, a Christian nurse came by her bed and slipped her a copy of the Gospel of Mark. Read this when you get home, she whispered. When Mrs. Chang arrived home, the first thing she did was ask her son to read the book. Opening to page one, he read, this is the good news of Jesus Christ. Before he could read further, Mrs. Chang's bones began moving. Within moments, she sat up completely healed. She immediately gave her life to Jesus. The next day, she walked to the village well to get water. The villagers were shocked. What doctor did you go to? They asked. We want his number. Mrs. Chang invited all the women to her home. When a large group assembled, she stood up and began speaking. This is the good news of Jesus Christ. Within 4 weeks, 600 people in that neighborhood accepted Jesus as their savior. But it doesn't end there. China is ruled by atheists. When the police heard about what was happening, they showed up and beat the villagers, shot their animals, and burned their crops. They left thinking they had put a stop to it. However, within 4 years, that group of 600 has grown to 70,000. Souls in China are hungry for Jesus, and the church in communist China is growing explosively. We need to wake up and realize the signs of the times. The return of Jesus is imminent. And when he returns, he will destroy the wicked, those who steal, those who commit adultery, those who lie, those who break the Sabbath, those who break the Ten Commandments. If you're a sinner tonight, Jesus returns tonight. I've got some bad news for you. You'll be destroyed in hell fire. But I also have some good news. God doesn't want you to be destroyed. In fact, Jesus has made a way of escape. He died for your sins on the cross so that you could have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus paid the penalty for your sins on the cross. Jesus died in your place. He then rose from the dead and defeated death. If you believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, and if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you're baptized, you will be saved. If the signs of Jesus' imminent return alarms you, then thank God, because the Lord wants you to wake up before it's too late. How many of you tonight want to be saved when Jesus comes back? If you're not saved tonight, call me on the radio station telephone number. I want to pray with you tonight. God bless you.